naturalness of the Pharisees and the scribes, because they were above everything else. Everyone would look to them and say, they're perfect. They weren't, of course. But they tried their best to observe every law that there was. And when we look through the Bible, we see the ceremonial law where we're told to keep certain festivals and certain days. We see there's a civil law which God instructs his people and encourages them how to live on a daily basis. And of course, we have the moral law where we get the Ten Commandments, where the Lord says, do not do this and do not do this. And over the years, more and more laws got added. More and more laws got added, and legalism would come in. And I want to suggest that if we as Christians truly want to understand who we are in Christ Jesus, we need to realize that it has been accomplished, it's finished. And that there are things that God has written on my heart and he's written on your heart. And there are things that are written in Scripture. When we look, we don't want to fall into legalism, do we? Legalism is not when you break the speed limit and the police officer pulls you over and you say, you're just into legalism. No, there's a law, and there's laws that we should follow. Legalism, in a biblical sense, in a scriptural sense, is when you think by doing something good, you will gain more favor with God. So you wash your hands, you eat the right foods, you observe the right festivals, you honor God on certain days and take ceremonies. There's certain things you abstain from. That can become legalism because you think it's by your works and not by the grace of God. So when we start to look at what the prophets accomplished, it says to fulfill the law and the prophets. And when you look through the Old Testament, and you will see that there were prophecies prophesying the coming of Christ, yes? There were prophecies prophesying certain events. There were prophecies that have been fulfilled. Jesus says he hasn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. In another place, he says, I haven't come to abolish the law, but to uphold the law. So the law is found in Christ. Jesus fulfills the law by keeping the law. Jesus paid the price for the law. In Christ, we can do the same. There's lots of things we could talk about. And I know for myself that, I don't say this in any kind of violin way, but I know my limits, and I don't class myself as an individual that can take a certain word and break it down and bring something just from a short passage of scripture and expound it, because my mind don't compute that way, or doesn't compute that way. However, it does compute in such a way that when I read scripture, I can see what God is saying to me, and I hope that you can see what he is saying to you. So when we look at the law, we understand the law to be, there's over 300 laws. Many of them were added. And I'm sure if we go to some situations in some parts of the world today, there'll be even more laws added. When you go into some churches, there'll be more laws added. Don't do this and don't do that. And there are things that we should heed to as Christians. But I want to give you the good news today. The good news is that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news is that you and I can't uphold the law. Now, why is that good news? When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, the only way to not have that death is to abide and uphold the law. And that's why a sacrifice had to be given. When we look through the Bible, mainly we'll find the laws in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And individuals, high and low, were encouraged to memorize the Torah, to memorize everything that God had instructed them to do. And when they failed to do this, a sacrifice was needed. You look through the Old Testament, you'll see that there had to be a shedding of blood, unless, of course, you can keep the law. Can any of you keep the law? I can't keep the law. They couldn't keep the law, so there had to be a sacrifice. The wages of sin is death. And then we look at what the Lord Jesus Christ encourages with. We look at the new covenant, the new testament. He's not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. How do you fulfill the law? How do you fulfill a prophecy? A prophecy is fulfilled when it comes to pass. So if Mike says to me, Andrew, I believe the Lord is saying you're going to grow by 12 inches. And I do. That's a miracle. That's a fulfillment of the law, of the prophecy. When someone says that something is going to happen, it's not fulfilled until it happens. So Jesus fulfilled the law. He became our substitute. He became the very thing that we couldn't. And it's the good news of what the scripture says is Bible. In Romans 2:15, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts. And if you just read that portion of scripture on its own, it may not make sense. But if you move up in Romans 2 verse 12, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. If you keep the law, you're above reproach. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. And you look through scripture, and Paul says, I wouldn't know what sin is if it wasn't for the law. So if the Bible didn't tell us not to murder, we wouldn't know that murder was bad. If the Bible didn't tell us not to do something, we wouldn't understand that it's wrong. So God's word is truth. So we're judged because of sin. We're judged because of the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous. Righteous means to have a right standing with God, in God's sight. But it is those who obey the law. Yet we're told that we can't obey the law. It's impossible for us to keep the law. So it seems to be a contradiction, but it isn't if we read on. In God's sight, those who obey the law, who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show the requirements of the law that is written on their hearts. Their consciences also bearing witness to their thoughts, sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. So what's being said here is that the law is written on their hearts. For me and you, as we get to that point where we've accepted Jesus Christ, what that means is this. We couldn't obey the law, but we accepted what Christ did when he hung on the cross and he paid for our sin, my sin and yours. When he said it's finished, we believed him. We believed him. So in Christ, we've been set free from the law under grace through faith. And the reason I want to major on what the New Testament says about the law rather than the Old Testament is because we need to understand the Old Testament. We need to know that there was a law, but we don't want to get into legalism. So we need to understand that Christ has written those laws on our hearts. So we don't want to sin. It doesn't mean that we can go and murder. It doesn't mean that we can commit adultery. It doesn't mean that we can do the things that the Bible says we shouldn't do. God has written them on our hearts. And through faith, we have an extended conscience. We live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And in Romans 7:9, it says, once I was alive apart from law. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. And through the commandment, put me to death. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death for me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. If it wasn't for the law, we wouldn't have conviction. Sin is sinful. And if it wasn't for what the law says, we wouldn't be convicted to do the right thing. Paul goes on to say, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for I do what I don't want to do. And what he's saying here is that there is something at work within his body. Maybe you've experienced this yourself as a Christian. You know the truth, and you know the truth will set you free. But because sin is in the world, and sin is at work, there's a war, Paul says, in his body, in the way that he thinks and the way that he acts. He says, the things that I know I should do, the things that are righteous, the things that are acceptable before God, I know them, but I struggle to do them. The things that I know are utterly sinful, and the things that I shouldn't do, and the things that I shouldn't say, and I shouldn't act upon, I find easy. And he says, there's a war at work in me. What a wretched man I am, but praise be to God. God has given me an answer. He's given me the answer to all my questions. For I know the good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. That's the old self. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I don't want to keep on sinning, Paul says. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. What Paul is saying is this. He understands that when he tries to do the right thing, the wrong thing is there for him to choose as well. And for me and you, when we look at the law and we look at grace, it gives us a choice. We know the law, we know what we shouldn't do, but we know we're under grace. We know that the penalty of our sin has been paid. And God has written on my heart and your heart, if you believe that Christ is your Lord and Savior, he's written a new covenant. He's written a new law. He's given you the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when I first became a Christian, I articulated it like this. I can't understand it, guys, but it's as if my conscience has been stretched. The things that I used to think, well, that's not too bad, I now find it's too bad. The things I thought, well, I can do this, I now think I can't do this. God calls us to live by the Spirit. So when the scripture tells us in Matthew, when Jesus says, I've not come to abolish the law, but to uphold the law or fulfill the law, it's true. He says it's finished. So if any of you are in a position where you think, well, I must pray at a certain time, I must fast at a certain time, I must observe a certain festival because the Bible talks about it, that's law. That's law. And it's not wrong to do them things. But if you do it because you think it'll earn you brownie points with God, it becomes legalism. But when we're under grace, we'll identify the things that we shouldn't do, we'll wrestle with them, and we'll give God the glory. We will walk the way God wants us to walk. When we see a situation, we say, Lord, I can't go forward and I can't go backwards. Maybe God will say afresh, use what's in your hand. Pick up his word. His word will never fail. It says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So God's already given us an answer. It's in his word. So if you walk through this situation, struggling with the law, struggling to keep certain requirements, maybe you've been in a situation over the years where even the Sabbath day that you're struggling with, you know, was a Saturday. Then we have the first day, the Sunday. Every day should be a Sabbath day to a Christian. Every day should be holy to God. We shouldn't just be, and I've been provoked just recently, we shouldn't just say, I'm going to give this day to God. I'm going to come and worship him on a Sunday, the first day of the week. I'm going to come and I'm going to bring my finances and my offering of worship. God wants you to have every day as a day that's dedicated to him. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So when I read this scripture about Christ being the fulfillment of the law, I can say, yes, amen, I've been set free. But I've been set free to choose to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And Paul understood what it was to battle in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. And if you look into the Old Testament, you'll see there was a priest, and the high priest would make a sacrifice on behalf of your sinfulness. So when, not when, not if, but definitely will do, when you make a mistake, when you sin, when you fall short, he would offer a blood sacrifice on your behalf so that you could start again. And then he would do it again so that you could start again. He was the high priest. It's important to understand who our high priest is now. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. When we went through a series looking at the tabernacle, looking through all the aspects that the priest had to go through in order to offer a sacrifice for me, in order to offer a sacrifice for the sinners, that he could be cleansed and he'd come into the Holy of Holies and he would enter with a blood sacrifice. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, and it's important to understand this afresh, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It has been accomplished. It has been fulfilled." And it says in Scripture that the curtain that separated man from God was torn. And it's important to understand that when we look at the law and we look at the grace, it was torn so that me and you could gain access into that inner sanctuary. That means that me and you, not through the blood of goats, could come in and find communion with God through the blood of Christ, the fulfillment of the law. So if you will accept afresh today that all your sins have been forgiven through Christ Jesus, accept afresh today that there is a moral law, there is a way that God wants us to act and react towards each other, love your neighbor as yourself. There are things that are written on our hearts, but they won't bring us closer to God unless we acknowledge that Jesus has done it, that he is finished, that the law has been fulfilled through Christ. And we accept that we don't live by the law, but we live by the Spirit. And we ask the Holy Spirit to convict us, to convince us, to enable us. For me, one of my prayers is, Lord, soften my heart. I've allowed my heart to become hard and calloused over the weeks and the months. And I know that's not God's perfect for me. It may be different for you. Lord, soften my heart. Now, there's not a law against that. But Jesus does teach, don't come to me half-hearted, but whole-hearted. Don't come to me half-hearted, but whole-hearted. Lord, I don't want to give you half a heart, a soft heart. I want a whole heart. I want you to soften me. So I want to encourage us with good news today. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who is ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to our faith, the faith that we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is not unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. Jesus had been tempted in every way so that we can look at him and say it's finished, just as we are, yet he did not sin. The reason that he could be the fulfillment of the law is because the law, the requirements of the law meant you had to be sinless. And nobody has not sinned apart from Christ. He did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne, his throne of grace, with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So I want to encourage us today that if we have tried to keep his commandments, if we've tried to say the right thing, do the right thing, be the right son, the right daughter, the right father, if we've tried our hardest and we've failed, this scripture reminds us that because Jesus is your high priest, because he sacrificed on your behalf, that you can come to him with confidence and you may receive mercy and find grace, undeserved favor. That's the good news of the Bible. That's the good news of Scripture in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. If we go up and we read from verse 18, But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I want to be led by the Spirit. And if we allow God to lead us by the Spirit, he will convict us and convince us of the right way to go. He will convict us and convince us of the right things to say. He will convict us and convince us that we are who he says we are. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, or orgies, and alike. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this do not inherit the kingdom. So there is a way of living under the new covenant. But, he says, the fruit of the Spirit, when God's working in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. When we allow the Spirit to change us and to challenge us, the law is fulfilled through Christ that we have faith in. I hope some of this is making sense, that I want us not to be legalistic, but to know that when the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, he will cause us to want to have a right standing with God. That we will understand afresh that through Christ, the law has been satisfied. The wrath of God has been satisfied through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, because I go to the Father, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that we hang on to. When the Bible says we don't live by the law, but by the Spirit, that's what we mean. We live by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to convict us and convince us to do the right thing and say the right thing. In Jeremiah 31:33, this is the commandment I will make to the people of Israel. This was a prophetic word. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. This is fulfilled in you and me through Christ Jesus. That the law has been fulfilled and God, through his grace and through his mercy, has written his law on our mind, his law on our minds. He's placed them in our hearts. So on one hand, we should be a people that can rejoice to say that we don't have to follow rules and regulations. And we can rejoice because we want to follow rules and regulations. Seems to be a contradiction, doesn't it? We can't get closer to God by observing the law, by doing what the law says we must do. We can't get closer to God that way. We get closer to God by accepting that Jesus has already done it. He's already accomplished all that the law said we had to accomplish. He's already paid for our sin. But because he's written his law on our hearts, I want to ask you to do what I want to do this week and say, Lord, soften my heart that I may receive you afresh. Lord, speak to my mind that I may be guided and directed by you. Maybe you're in your garden this week and you're saying, is there any other way? But your will, not my will, be done. In Romans 7:5, for when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. The wages of sin is death. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve a new way of the Spirit. I bring this in so that you understand it's not just words, it's what the Bible says. There's a new law that we serve by the way of the Spirit, not of the old way of the written code. So it's not what's been written on tablets of stone, but it's been written on my heart and your heart if Christ is our Saviour and Lord. I have just a couple of scriptures just to share with you. I just want us to have an understanding that as we move through these times, there'll be situations that we will be challenged with. There'll be situations where we say we can't do this, but God has fulfilled all through Christ Jesus. Everything that God says about his son, he says about you as a son and a daughter. I want to encourage you today to say, listen, let God lead you by his spirit. If you find that it's dark, let his light shine through you. If you find that it's hard, let him carry you. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So I want to be led by the Spirit. But to be led by the Spirit isn't an easy option, because we're saying, Lord, not my way, but your way. And there'll be times where God leads you somewhere and you might not want to go there. But the truth is this, if God has said it, it's for your good. If God has said it, it's to bless you. If God has said it, it's to bring about a victory. But you are not led by the law, but you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are the disobedience, but the grace of God brings us freedom. So I want to encourage us with these two scriptures, Galatians 6:2. Says this, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Be careful that you don't stumble. Be careful that you don't become legalistic. Be careful that you're led by my Spirit. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. See, God has still written commandments on our hearts. He's still given us a mandate on how to treat one another. The truth is still the truth, yes? And the truth will set us free. But God has given us a mandate. He's written his law on our hearts. He's given us a new way to think. We're a new creation. Romans 8:1, my final scripture. Therefore, as we conclude this message, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? I hope you are. Well, there's no condemnation. God doesn't condemn you if you're in Christ, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law came to convict us of our sin. The law was given to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The law was there and we couldn't uphold it, so we had to bring a sacrifice. We've been set free from that. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to become a sin offering. And this portion of scripture, I encourage you to read it again, because it's the gospel. It tells us that Christ became a sin offering. He stood as a substitute. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. This is Christ. In order that the righteous requirements of the law, there is a righteous requirement. The wages of sin is death, an eternal separation from God. And there was a price that needed to be paid in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. That's me and you and all those that put their trust in Christ, who do not live according to the flesh, do not live according to what the law says, but according to the Spirit, the spiritual law that God has given us, that we should uphold what he's given us. We should not murder. We should not commit adultery. We should not do the things that Scripture tells us not to do, because we don't want to. Not because we have to earn our salvation, but we receive ourselves. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I want us to have life and I want us to have peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, if you belong to Jesus, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. It is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves to sin anymore, so that you may live in fear. Again, rather, the Spirit you received, that's you and me, the Spirit we received brought about an adoption to sonship. And by him we say, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies to our spirit. We are God's children. We are God's children. Amen. So can I encourage you today by simply finishing with this and saying, Clive, would you lead us in worship? Do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to accomplish it. I have come to fulfill it. So let's be a church. Let's be a people that will not try and earn our way into God's good books, but live our way the God, live life the way God wants us to live it. Let's be a people that will come before his throne and say, Lord, soften my heart. Lead me by your Spirit. Let God lead you today. Amen. Amen.